I hope you are having just an absolutely incredible summer right now. And if you're listening to a teacher podcast, then I'm just going to make the assumption that you are wanting to be incredibly proactive about next school year. And I think there is something that as teachers, we either love or loathe, and I'm not sure where you fall, but the topic is parent-teacher conferences. I know it's summer right now, but the reality is that fall conferences are right around the corner. So if you are wanting to be proactive about doing something special, something unique, something that maybe you've never done in your career, then what I want to do in this special summer replay episode is plant a seed on how you can completely revamp and rejuvenate your upcoming conferences this school year to make them better than what you have ever had in the past. And I'm being dead serious. This strategy and this solution that involves raisins was one of the most downloaded episodes of the entire season. And so I thought, man, I gotta roll that out. I gotta roll that out this summer for all of those proactive teachers who are looking for something to spice up next school year. Well, you are in the right place, so we're gonna get right into this replay episode. There is one annual activity that teachers either love or hate. I'm gonna be honest, I absolutely love them, and you may absolutely hate them, and that is totally okay. If you like them, I've got an idea that is going to bring them to a whole nother level. And if you dislike them, this idea is going to shift your mindset on them. So what is the thing that we either love or hate? Parent-teacher conferences. Now, I don't call them parent-teacher conferences. I call mine raisin reunions. Because as we know, a lot of our students don't live with their parents. They might live with a parent, a step-parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a guardian. So I call mine raisin reunions because whoever is raising that kid, I want to see them in my classroom and I want to make it more like a reunion and less like a conference. And that is exactly what we are going to talk about in this episode. I am going to give you the exact framework that I use, and spoiler alert, there is somebody very special sitting at the Raisin Reunion table with us. And it might not be the person that you expect. Now, before we get into this episode, I want to remind you that on season 5, we are doing something very special called the Teacher Hotline Talk Line. You can call 815-780-9505. Throughout this entire school year and ask your specific questions. You can share your struggles, you can share a story, you can share a question, you can share a concern, and it could appear on this episode with the supports and also the strategies that you are looking for. So what's the teacher hotline talk line? It's 815-780-9505. Save that number into your phone, and the next time you're driving home and have a hilarious story from your classroom, call in and share it. The next time you are commuting home and you are crying behind the steering wheel, call that number, leave a voicemail, and you will get the support and the strategies that you deserve because we are living this teacher life together. Now get ready for this episode titled How to Have the Most Effective Conferences of Your Entire Career. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. wanted this episode to be very proactive because I know that for a lot of us, conferences are going to be happening soon. If you started in August, it is likely that you have conferences somewhere around first quarter, which I think is awesome. Students have been in our classroom for a while. We know them on a life level. We also know them on an academic level, and we get to invite their raisins into our classrooms and have some time one-on-one and say, hey, here's how things are going. It's an incredible reflective activity, but in my opinion, we can structure it a whole lot better so it is way more reflective so we can get the results and the momentum for the entire school year. Now, if you are on a non-traditional schedule, maybe your conferences aren't within the next month or so, but there is likely a time, and for some schools, multiple times throughout the year, where you're going to have some sort of open house. You're going to have an opportunity for loved ones, raisins, parents, grandparents to come in and ask the question, so how are things going for my kid? How are things going for my grandchild? And I think that as teachers, sometimes this can cause us to have a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress, because it kind of feels like we are put on the spot. And so I am somebody who is very, very pro communicating with raisins proactively. Like, I'm very for this. I send out a weekly email. I am not afraid to pick up the phone and call raisins with kids. I am one of those people who it is likely when they come in for my raisin reunions, we have spoken, communicated, emailed multiple times. Okay? So, with that said, how can you create the most effective conferences of your entire career? What I want to talk about in this episode is how I structure mine, because here is a big, big thing that I get questions about a lot. Last October, after I did my conferences, Instagram was blowing up and people were like, I want to know more about your student-led conferences. That's right, teacher friends, I said it. They are student-led conferences. I know in a traditional setting that parents come in, raisins come in, and sit down at a small table in our small chairs, especially if you're a kindergarten teacher. You have to literally bring in normal-sized human chairs because six-year-olds aren't sitting at the table with you. Adults are. And so then they're like, okay, so how's the reading going? How's the behavior going? Do you feel like they're on track? And they ask incredible questions. And I think that's great. But I don't teach kindergarten. I don't teach elementary. But even when I have taught upper elementary, student-led conferences is something that I believe in. And in my opinion, and I think this has some wiggle room, but in my opinion, I think in grades third through senior, a student-led conference is a really great strategy. What I mean by that is it's me at the table, it's the raisins at the table, and it's the kids at the table. We are at the table together. Because I think at that age, we have to get kids taking some accountability for their learning. Some accountability and saying, yes, I want to celebrate with all of the successes that you have had so far this school year. To also take accountability for, like, I want you to acknowledge some of the struggles that you have had. And it's okay, but I want us to all be at the same page. We have all had that phone call home or that conference where it's like, whoa, 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 that's not what they said. That's not what they communicated with me. That's not the story I'm hearing. That's not the vibe that I'm receiving. And it creates this weirdness because it's like, is your student lying? Sometimes as a teacher, it feels like that the adults think that we are lying. And I'm like, I would have no reason to lie to you about this. But parents, God love them, they want to take the team of their kids a lot of time. And you know, you can't blame them. But when we are all at the same table at the same time and we can come together for a specific mission and have a productive conversation. And sometimes that productive conversation is also a productive struggle because there is some dishonesty that has happened. A kid has said, well, no, we never have homework. And then it's like, well, maybe that's actually not true. Or like, no, they never tell us to write in our planner. That's not really true. And then all of a sudden we can get on the same page. I want to be very clear. A student-led conference is not about a gotcha in front of parents. That's not what it's about at all. It is literally saying, can we have a raisin reunion? Can we all come together and can we sit at a table together? And can we share a little bit of old man candy? Because you know I'm busting out my old man candy dish for this blessed occasion. Like, can we all come together and be on the same page, be on the same team, and have a reflective reunion together? Now, this doesn't just happen. There does need to be a very specific structure. And I want to tell you about what I do prior to the raisins ever coming through the door. Because the week before raisin reunions begin, the way that it works in my school is we have two nights where they can come in. So we open up our school from 4:30 to 7 on two different nights. I believe this year it's going to be like a Wednesday and a Thursday. So a Wednesday night and a Thursday night, they can sign up to attend. At the end of the episode, I'm going to tell you exactly how I get mine to sign up and actually show up. What? Stick around for the end because I am going to tell you how they sign up and show up. Like 90% show up rate, which is like mind-blowing for raisin reunions, right? So I try to be proactive. And about a week before the raisin reunion, I actually have my students do a little prep work. I have a document that I give to students, and I actually want to walk you through exactly what is on that document because I don't want this to be this awkward moment where the kids are leading the conference, but they don't know what to say. And then all the raisins look at me and like, well, why don't you start talking? You're the teacher. We want to hear from you. I want it to be a shared conversation. So about a week before, I hand my students a document and we fill this out in class. And the very first question on the document is, overall, I would rate this school year so far a blank on a scale of 1 to 10. I have them numerically rate the year so far, overall. Not just my class necessarily, not just like the school food, not just recess, but overall, what would you rate this school year so far on a scale of 1 to 10? Now, I understand that you might be thinking, well, one kid's 8 is not another kid's 8. A 2 to 1 kid might be not a 2 to another kid. I totally agree, which is why the next question is, I gave that number because. So then kids are taking that number that they've numerically processed, right, on their timeline, and then they are describing why. Like, why did you rate it a 7? Why did you rate it a 10? And it is so cool to listen to the raisins say, oh my gosh, I didn't know you thought that. Or like, oh my gosh, I would have not known that. Or, oh my gosh, honey, I didn't know that. Like, it is so interesting because it's a simple yet substantial question that opens up the door to a lot of conversation. And then you'll notice we have not talked about grades yet. We haven't talked about grades yet because that's not even the first thing that we talk about. We do the number and then I actually ask the kids what a specific personal goal that they have for second quarter is. Personal goal, not about school. Like, I don't want to hear about grades. I want to know what is a personal goal that you have for second quarter. Something about sports, something about friends, something about one of your interests, and they document that. Then I ask for a specific academic goal. What is something that you would like to achieve? And it doesn't even have to be for my class. It could be for another class. This year, I teach exclusively 7th and 8th grade. So I teach exclusively middle school. But if you were doing this with a 5th grade class, your 5th grade family, you could have them set an academic goal for a specific class that you're teaching, right? So they set two goals, a personal goal and an academic goal. Then we get into grades. And it says, my current letter grade in science is a this. Here is the percent, not just the grade, not just an A, not just a B, which don't even get me started on A's, B's, C's, and D's. I'm just so against it. But I think the percentage speaks a little bit more. So here's the letter grade. Here is the percentage. And then this is like one of my very favorite parts. Here are two very detailed reasons why I earned that grade. Earned, capitalized. Earned, italicized. Earned, underlined. Emphasize the earned. Because I think sometimes there is this belief that we give kids grades. They gave me a B. They gave me a C. I hate to be that teacher's like, I didn't give that to you. You earned it. But I do think if we're all at the table together, this is an accountability piece. Here's what you earned. Maybe you earned a 100%. You earned an A+. Maybe you earned a C-. But you earned that. And then you're going to describe two detailed reasons why you earned that grade. And here's the thing. It is so refreshing how honest kids are about that. They will be like, well, because I bombed one of the tests, I didn't study for it at all. Or because I pay so close attention in class and I take really good notes. Like, they give detailed reasons why their grade is either really good or maybe why their grade isn't so good. But then at least we have something to work off of. There's not this awkward silence at the raisin reunion. Have you ever been to a family reunion and like you're looking around at who is there and you're like, I didn't even know that person was in my family. This is weird. Or like, I haven't seen that third cousin since we were 7. I don't even know what we would possibly talk about. Like, sometimes a family reunion is weird because you have no idea what to say to each other. But thank the Lord it's a potluck, so you can go get Aunt Cynthia's, you know, macaroni casserole, and that at least breaks the ice. So do I have food at my raisin reunion? Yes, I do. I got that old man candy. We got the butterscotches. We got the lemon heads. We got the root beer barrels. We maybe got some Hall's cough drops in that little dish as well. So do we have some food per se to break the ice? We do, but we also have a reflection that the child has already filled out. It is likely that after the kid has gone through that with their raisin looks at me and says, well, that makes a lot of sense. Or they look at me and they say, you know, I was going to ask about what happened on that test, or I was going to ask about how I can challenge my child more. But now that I've seen that goal, I have a roadmap. Or now that I see that they bombed that test, that makes more sense. And it's not us again throwing the kids under the bus. It's we're all at the table together and now we can strategize. Now we can ask more specific detailed questions. A raisin reunion is about a reflection. But when the kid has already done the reflecting, it creates a far more productive conversation. And conferences should be about having great conversations, not about blaming people, not about questioning whether or not the kid is a good student or you are a good teacher. No, it's about saying we're all here together. Let's effectively reflect. So that is the structure. And I am telling you, I've been doing student-led conferences for my entire career. There was one year during COVID that, as we remember, conferences got all out of control and like it wasn't a thing. So then what did I do? I pivoted to virtual conferences. You maybe did that as well. You pivoted to a virtual conference and a parent or a raisin showed up virtually in a Google Meet or in a Zoom. Guess what? I have now opened that up to an option. there are some raisins that, because of schedules, because of cars, because of the cost of gas, aren't necessarily willing or able to arrive to the school. But we have the technology now. Kids literally have the technology to say, like, hey, mom, dad, grandpa, we can do this via Google Meets. We can do this via Zoom, via my school district issued device. Are you willing to have a raisin reunion virtually? And because the kid is leading it, the parent who might not feel comfortable on camera, or the grandparent who might not feel uncomfortable, or who might feel uncomfortable on camera because they don't know how to use technology, they got the kid sitting right next to them being like, oh, no worries, I can show you how to do this because we are doing this together. It de-stresses the kid because their adult is there, and it de-stresses the adult because their child is there. We have to remember that a majority of our raisins likely didn't have a 10 out of 10 school experience. We have to recognize and respect the fact that a lot of our kids' raisins don't want to come to conferences because when they had a conference, they got scolded. When they had a conference, they got scared. And now they're concerned that the exact same thing is going to happen to their own child. Raisin reunions with reflections that were proactive solve nearly all of this. Now, how do we get them to sign up? And how do we get them to show up? That is exactly what I'm going to share in the second part of this episode. So definitely stick around. I think part of the reason why raisin reunions are so successful is because we already have relationships with kids and their parents prior to the conference's beginning. As teachers, we understand the value of creating a positive climate and culture, but sometimes that can be really hard to do. And I think oftentimes it's hard to do because we don't have the right tools to create the climate and culture where kids feel safe, trusted, and loved in the context of our classroom. But what if I told you all of that could literally disappear with one resource, with one tool? Friends, for the past few years, I have been using what I call 180 Days of Awesome SEL. It is a specifically curated advisory / SEL / morning meeting curriculum that I created because I was using resources that, quite frankly, weren't fun for kids. I was using a curriculum that the school district had purchased that did not engage kids. They found it cheesy. They found it sappy, and I couldn't get them to communicate. Finally, I realized, you know what? When I am leading my own lessons, when I am using the social and emotional learning standards and creating my own content, that is when advisory thrives. That is when SEL really comes to life. So what I did was I created 180 full lessons that are engaging. They get kids talking. They get kids expressing compassion and empathy and camaraderie and all of the things that we need to have classroom connections. And now that is available to you. It is called 180 Days of Awesome SEL, and I have an elementary version and a middle school / high school version. You could literally have your entire homeroom advisory morning meeting SEL time planned for the entire year. Activities, discussion questions, everything that you need. So all you have to do is go into your classroom and teach and reach kids. If you want to check out more, you can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's monicagenta.com/180SEL. I'm also going to include a direct link in the show notes. But if you want to bring your relationships to a whole new level and save yourself so much time and teacher struggle, then you definitely want to check out 180 Days of Awesome SEL. So when it comes to these conferences, we now have a new name to kind of de-stress and de-escalate the situation. It's a raisin reunion. You now know the proactive structure, so it's not awkward or weird, and your kids know exactly what to talk about at the table. You've got those reflection questions ready to go. But the big question now is, okay, but how do we actually get these raisins to come? How do we get them to sign up and then show up? Well, one thing that I've been using for the past few years is a super simple website. It's completely free and it's very easy to get signed up, especially if your school uses the Gmail or the Google platform. And so I use what's called Calendly. This is not sponsored. This is not like anything other than this is what I use. Okay. And I just want to tell you about it. But you can literally go to Calendly, C-A-L-E-N-D-L-Y, Calendly.com. And you can create a free account, doesn't need a credit card, nothing like that. And what I do is I create 15-minute time slots. Now, I know that you can send slips home, and that's fine. If you want to send slips home, you can do that as well. But I'm already sending a weekly email to Raisins. So about a month before, so like literally right now, because mine are coming up in about a month before, I start talking about the Raisin reunions and how they're student led. Like your child is going to come with you and it's going to be great. It's going to be like a party. And I start dropping that Calendly link in and I set them up for 15 minute segments. I ask for their name. I ask for their email address. I ask for their phone number. I tell them exactly where I'm located in the school. So there's no stress of like, oh, where am I going? The kid is going to be with them, but it makes them feel a little bit better if they know like my name, my classroom number, that kind of thing. Fun fact, my school doesn't have classroom numbers. We have the alphabet. I am room K. I taught in room 205 for 10 years. And now I'm in room K. Isn't that awesome? Okay, nonetheless. So I give them some directions on how to get to my classroom. Again, just to de-escalate the situation a little bit, to make them feel more comfortable. But these Calendly links then help me see exactly who is going to be coming and those time frames. Another thing that I like to ask in advance on the Calendly link is, is there something specific that you would like to celebrate or that you have a concern about? Both of those, not just concerns. Is there something specific that you would like to celebrate with your student that night or a concern that you have that night? I don't want my kids to be surprised about the conversations that are going to unfold at the table. You know who else doesn't want to be surprised? Me. I don't want to be surprised. Like, I don't want to be like, whoa, didn't see that coming. Or I don't have the data or the answer that they're looking for. Like, I want to make sure that when they walk out of my classroom, that they get what they need as well. So if I proactively ask, is there something you want to celebrate or something that you're concerned about? And I can take care of that in advance or just have it on my radar, I'm going to absolutely ask that in one of the Calendly questions. So here's the thing. The way that Calendly works is because we are an iPhone world, that is going to automatically link with their Google Calendar. Or they're going to get a ping in their inbox saying you have signed up for something. So even if they don't use Google Calendar, it syncs to an iPhone calendar and it sets up a reminder for them. That's a huge win. You can also set up an automated email 24 hours in advance or 48 hours in advance to let them know like, hey, don't forget you signed up for 6:45 p.m. on Wednesday night. And here's one of my favorite things is Calendly is a Google product, or at least they partner with Google. So you can also use Calendly for virtual conferences. It generates a Google Meet link that they can click on if they want to do a virtual conference. Here's another thing. We understand that sometimes things pop up or parents get nervous, guardians get nervous, and they want to cancel. So let's say hypothetically they had a scheduled in-person conference with you on Wednesday night. And Wednesday afternoon, they're like, oh, it's just not going to work. Our car's not doing well. No problem at all. That link that you signed up for actually already has a Google Meet link embedded in it. Why don't you and your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter or your niece or nephew, right? Click on that link and I'll still meet you at 6:45 because I've already blocked that special time and I was really looking forward to meeting with you. So no worries at all. We'll just do it virtually. And it takes no extra work for you or for them to make that happen. It is the ultimate backup plan. Holy shit, is this not the greatest framework ever? You got a new name for it. You're going to set out, you know, a little potluck of candy. You've got a reflective question. The kids are coming to the table. And you now have a structure and a system to get them signed up. You also have a backup plan if they try to back out. I am telling you, you are going to have the most effective conferences of your career if you do this. Is it potentially going to still be stressful? Sure. Is it potentially going to still be a little hard based off of what could unfold? Absolutely. But every single time that I have followed this structure, when I commute home, you know, and it's like 8 p.m., you're leaving your school at dark, which is kind of wild, right? It's like, it's not like the sun is setting. It's not like you stayed late to grade some papers. I feel like when conferences are done, it is nighttime. It is nighttime, which is weird in a school. But as you commute home, you're going to be like, that was so awesome. That was so successful in comparison to maybe what you have done in the past. I'm telling you, I cannot wait to hear how this goes for you. This is the structure that I am going to be using this year, and I invite you to do it as well. Once you've done your conferences, or once you've got heard this episode and you've got questions, reach out to me. I'd love to answer your questions, and I'd love to know how this goes for you. As a reminder, if you want to have these kind of awesome connections and this kind of awesome camaraderie and conversations happening all year long, don't forget to check out 180 Days of Awesome SEL Curriculum. That link is in the direct show notes, monicajensa.com/180SEL. And go ahead and check out Calendly in the show notes as well. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. As a reminder, they are dropping every single Sunday night, so you are ready for your commute on Monday. Thanks for listening, and thanks for living this teacher life.